The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you this morning as we're set to talk about the opening round of the Quicken Loans National, best known for two things, really. One, it's benefiting Tiger Woods Foundation, and Tiger is the host of this tournament, even though he is not playing in it, as we all know, because of his injuries and trying to recover from those. Also, very well known because Congressional is the tournament right after the U.S. Open. So that means a lot of the guys, a lot of top players, certainly the ones that went through the pressure-packed weekend, take this week off. So you have an opportunity, if you're not one of the top 10, 20 players on the tour, they're sprinkled in there a little bit, but you have a chance for a guy like Jon Rahm to take the lead, and that's exactly what he did. He is a 21-year-old Spaniard, played at Arizona State, but he shot a 7-under 64 in the opening round, so Rahm has the lead by one shot over Robert Garrigus, Jonathan Vegas, and John Senden, Wesley Bryant, and a few others are a couple of shots back. So a nice opportunity for Rahm to kind of come out of nowhere. He is, by the way, the only amateur who, and this is his professional debut, but he was the only amateur to make the cut at Oakmont last week, tied for 23rd at Oakmont, and felt very good about his game. Obviously, it continues and it holds over to the first round here at Congressional. They had to deal with a couple-hour rain delay yesterday, and I was talking with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf, and he was there at Congressional Country Club and said that they got lucky. They had a two-hour rain delay, but they just missed and were on the backside of a really major storm that dropped a lot of rain in other parts of that part of the country, but not right there at Congressional. So a two-hour rain delay they could overcome. They got the full round in, the first round, and were able to get through without having the major delays that if the golf course was about an hour south of where it is, Congressional in Bethesda, Maryland, would have been a whole different story. So they did get the first round in, and golfers on the course are ready for the second round right now. Join us, as always, Frank Bassett, our man of the town in Nashville, in studios in Nashville. Frank, how are you doing today? You're getting ready for another road trip that you have to take going down to the Atlanta area, aren't we, next week?
I am. I'm getting close to Augusta next week, by the way. You go through Atlanta and go over halfway to Augusta, and it's formerly Reynolds Plantation. It's now Reynolds Lake Oconee, and it's the site of the AJGA, American Junior Golf Association, Rolex Tournament of Champions. We'll be there doing our show next week from there, interviewing a lot of the kids that are playing in this tournament. It's an invitational, big field. There's a big field of girls and boys. And they're playing on the Great Waters course, which is a gorgeous golf course there, one of the six at Lake Oconee, Reynolds Lake Oconee. And they're hosting us there. They're going to feed us and put us up and put us on a stage and make us work. So it's going to be fun. Wish you were going to be there, Tim. It's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it. And a lot going on over there. If you have a chance, go to the internet, go out and check them out. You can find a lot on golftalkamerica.com about Reynolds Lake Oconee also. So check them out. It's going to be a blast. But back to Nashville.
Yes.
We had
storms
blow through last night. I mean, it was brutal here. So
yes,
they came down from the north, so they didn't come through Dallas for a change. So I didn't see your lawn furniture blowing by my house.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was brutal last night. I woke up with flashing lightning and thunder. And
wow.
The dog, Bogey the Wonder Dog, was under the bed. And it was pretty wild here.
It seems that where he joined you, he's trying to trying to find you, and he found you under the bed. Good for
get
for
out
Bogey.
Of here. There's not room.
We got Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio and Bob Bupka with The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. Also join us here later on in the show. So they'll talk about what's going on in the world of golf and certainly the first round of what happened at the Quicken Loans National. Also, Frank, because we do talk about world events and things that are going on in the world, big, huge news and could be exciting or not exciting, depending on where you stand on the whole thing. But England votes to get out of the European Union yesterday. That was a vote that has been in the making here for well over a year, and it finally came down to a vote. What do you think about all that? Some people are saying it's horrible and it's bad for America. Others are saying not so much, and that they basically were in a situation not unlike the United States, where it was either business as usual and politicians doing what politicians do, or going against that and saying, here's what we want. We want something different, and you're not listening to us, so we want to break away and really send you a message. And they sent a message because their prime minister is resigning. So it really sent a message. How do you feel about what happened over there in England? Will it affect us over here?
And his prime minister said that he's not going to, David Cameron said he's not going to sign it. He's going to leave that to his successor. So he's just going to get out,
so,
and not put his
so
ink
there.
On it.
I'll show you.
Yeah, I'll take my money and run. It's times are changing. I mean, the one thing I see this doing is with Great Britain, or the United Kingdom, if you will, pulling out, now Scotland and Ireland and Northern Ireland have decisions to make. So it may be the dissolution of the United Kingdom as it exists today. So, a lot of things are changing.
Scotland's already said, and they had, I think, a similar vote recently, and they overwhelmingly said they wanted to stay in the European Union. Now, of course, that could have been based on the fact they thought England was going to stay in, and now they haven't. So you're right. They'll have to go back to the drawing board and see if they're all together or not so much together. It's going to it's probably upset the Queen a little bit, but, you know, how many problems can you have if you're the Queen? You kind of just sit there and wave your hand for 70 years like she's been doing. But anyway, we'll see what happens with all that. And the irony of this, somewhat of the irony, is that Donald Trump, appropriately enough, lands at Turnberry in Scotland yesterday while all this was going on and the vote was being counted. And here's Donald Trump showing up at his golf course, Turnberry, to talk about the golf course and the resort and all that. But used it as a little bit of a, you know, hey, that's what they did because they wanted change. And I'm here to say I want to do the same thing for America and make changes and all that. So Trump definitely taking advantage of the situation over there, isn't he?
Well, he's right place, right time. Who knows? I don't want to rush to judgment here, but he does own the place, Turnberry. He's turning that over to his kids, by the way. I mean, all of his organization will be run by his children. And, it was interesting. I'll give you that, but something else that you haven't mentioned, the irony of the fact that the movie Independence Day Resurgence opens today in theaters all across America. So there you go. It's Independence Day everywhere.
Oh, I got you. I thought the irony was we're all going to be destroyed by aliens. I didn't catch the irony.
Well,
I see. It's all Independence Day. Got you.
Politicians, aliens, I don't know. It's synonymous. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah,
these opinions are not that of the PGA Tour or Golf Talk America, just the ramblings of an old man. So, it's disclaimer,
baby. A lot of interesting things going on in the world, and that's for sure. Well, hey, let's take a quick break here. We wanted to set things up and let you know where we stand. We have Mark Zucchino, who I believe is in his home of Toronto, in the Toronto area, which, by the way, you don't pronounce that second T, Frank, if you're from Canada. It's Toronto. There's no second T. You don't say Toronto.
Toronto. It's
so
kind of like
now.
New Orleans.
No, you don't.
New Orleans.
Yeah,
it's kind of
like New Orleans. You say Toronto.
Nashville. Toronto. Say Nash Vegas. There you go.
All those things if you're a local. Anyway, Mark Zucchino from Toronto and PGA Tour Radio will be joining us when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio, so stay with us. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you in the Dallas studios. That music isn't exactly the Scottish bagpipes that I was looking for, but one way or another, we got the music coming in. And join us now on the phone from Toronto is Mark Zucchino with PJ Tour Radio. Mark, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, gentlemen. I'm a little foggy, to be honest with you. I went out to a charity function with my better half last night. There were some cocktails flowing. I wake up this morning and Great Britain and the United Kingdom's leaving the European Union. The Greenbrier has been flooded underwater, and it looks like the golf course is completely washed out. And I don't remember basically having that much to drink last night, but apparently the world changed completely overnight, and I had one too many and missed about a week of newsworthy material. I don't know what happened last night, but bizarre.
You have no idea what can happen in the course of the night. And I want to ask you about that because, unless I'm mistaken, you're coming to us from your home near Toronto. Is that correct?
Yep, I am in Toronto, okay. Home for 1 week, off to Akron next week, but this week a little home time, so it's good, yeah.
So Toronto being obviously very connected to England throughout its entire history, having royalty on your money and on and on and on. And I used to live near Toronto, so I grew up in the Canadian atmosphere of being very, very interconnected with England and Great Britain. So how do you feel about all this? I mean, it's a big change, and suddenly Great Britain is saying that England doesn't want to be part of the European Union, and we're going to have to see what happens with Wales and Ireland and Scotland and who does what. But it's a lot of turmoil over there. Is that going to do anything, or does it mean anything? I know you just found out about it because you've been in a drunken stupor, but does it mean anything in Canada?
Nah, you know, it doesn't. You know, in terms of Great Britain and England's role and whatnot and the monarchy in Canadian terms, it's more of a ceremonial place now in history that, you know, we still have the Queen on our money, et cetera, and things like that. It's more of this historic note. We're much more attached to you gentlemen in the United States when, you know, when you sneeze, we catch a cold kind of thing. So this is probably not going to affect us that much or any different than how it would affect the rest of the world with trade agreements and things of that nature, just like it'll affect the yourselves and anybody else who has trade agreements with the European Union that I guess expected the United Kingdom to be part of those agreements when they were made. So I don't know how that works. That's well above my pay grade. But again, no, it's, you know, we're way more in tune or way more affected with U.S. politics and U.S. economy and obviously being neighbors next door and that border, people back and forth all day and business being done cross border all day long, you know, the entire year that affects us way more. So it's going to be interesting. I know you guys are going through an interesting one in a few months down the road in November. So I think Canadians have our eyes on that one a little bit more than Europe. But this is weird. This is interesting. Another anti-establishment vote around the world. So I think that's what this is. And I think it says a lot about the way people are thinking and feeling these days. But enough politics.
Well, you never know, though. I mean, the next time you have a slight hangover and a long night, you might wake up and that Canadian border's gone, and suddenly you're living in northern Michigan. I mean,
and that's
you
okay.
Never know.
It's beautiful. Northern Michigan's beautiful.
You never know.
This time of year. I'm okay with that.
You could be okay. Hey, we're joined by Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio. Let me go back a week, if I can, before we talk a little bit about what's going on at Bethesda. But the whole ruling and the Dustin Johnson brouhaha, what's your take on all that happened at Oakmont last week?
Well, I'm still not over it. I was very upset to watch that go down. And, you know, I fall in line with the rest of the golfing community. It seems to be fairly consistent that everyone feels the same way about this. And I have a few problems with it in general as well, just outside of the actual ruling that went down and how it unfolded. The other problem I have with this is that, you know, we rely a lot on the players and their integrity to police themselves. The day before, Shane Lowry called it on himself, said, "I caused the ball to move." And he verbalized that, and he truly believed that he caused the ball to move, and he received the penalty because of that. You know, the following day, Dustin Johnson says, you know, "I didn't cause it to move." And all of a sudden, we have a problem with that, and we've got to get a committee together and look at it. So, you know, it's interesting to me that a player's integrity or character is not in question when they're penalizing themselves, but when they're applying the rule properly to not penalize themselves because they didn't cause it to move, all of a sudden their character is in question, or all of a sudden we've got to review this. And I just think you can't have your cake and eat it too. Either this is a game where we trust the players within that group and the official on site to get it right, or you don't. And you can't have it both ways. And, you know, this is kind of falls back a little bit on the Tiger Woods rule, guys. You know, Tiger Woods, he played for 15 years with almost every single shot televised that he hit and was under a microscope because of it. And Dustin Johnson kind of had that go towards him on Sunday. If that situation occurred in a group 5-6 hours earlier with a group that was not in the hunt, They would have dealt with it within the group. They would have called in the official. They would have got it right like they did on site, and they would have moved on. There would have been no cameras following them. There wouldn't have been no extra slow motion replay, and the field would live with it. So I don't know why TV has that kind of power to change that situation.
Well, it was unfortunate in a lot of ways. Now, again, Dustin Johnson, as a lot of people have said, we're able to put the pin back in the grenade that the USGA had pulled out so that he won handily and the stroke penalty didn't matter. Had it mattered, it would have been a fiasco, but it didn't. So he's still holding the trophy, and I guess bottom line, that's all that really matters. Let's move ahead now to what's going on this week. Another kind of unknown Andrew Landry comes out of nowhere, and here we are at a very tough course as well, a congressional, where Ernie Els won a U.S. Open several years ago, a couple of decades ago. And John Rahm, a Spaniard, 21-year-old, making his professional debut, kind of comes out of nowhere. Do you expect this guy? Do you know much about this guy at all? Because I'll be honest, I don't think a lot of people do. And do you expect him to kind of have a one-hit wonder here and then fade to the back of the pack? Or do you think a young guy like this making a professional debut might be able to hang on a little bit?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. You're not supposed to be able to shoot those scores, around congressional, but they're throwing darts. The soft conditions definitely change that golf course for the opening round. You know, John Rahm, he's well touted. You know, he was a former number one ranked amateur golfer in the world. So it's not like he doesn't have a resume in terms of his amateur career. And you know, he's coming out of left field or out of the blue. We've kind of seen John Rahm coming for a while now. But seeing a guy coming for a while and anticipating a positive professional career out of a guy down the road is very different than someone going out and shooting 700 par in their first round as a professional at congressional. No one sees that coming.
Yeah.
So going to be interesting to see, if he can keep that going. Because, obviously, he's played in big events before. We've seen him on a big stage before. But he's been on those stages with zero pressure. Now he's a professional. Now he's out there, and he's playing this game for a living. And obviously after that round, the spotlight's on him. Because, he's flying under the radar as making his professional debut. He's a nice little story, a side story to the event. And, if he makes the weekend, wonderful. Okay, 7-under par now in your opening day as a professional. Now all of a sudden you're going to have microphones and cameras, and the script here of what's going to happen at the Quicken Loans is all of a sudden going to change. So it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts to that. Today will tell us a lot because, he's going to have to sleep on what he just did. I know it's only the second round, but he's going to I'm sure he's dealing a lot with last night and this morning. He's going to deal with a lot of cameras and microphones in his face and people asking him for his time and asking him the same questions that we're talking about right now, and let's see how he reacts to it. To play the game at the amateur level that he did, he's got a lot of game, and we've seen guys do this. The kids that come out now are different. They don't wait till they're 32 anymore to start winning championships. The 20-somethings own this game. So who knows? Maybe this is another one. Let's see what happens.
We're talking with Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio. Before we let you go here at the bottom of the hour, I've got to ask you about Ernie Els. He decided after he misses the cut at Oakmont that he's going to play this week at the Quicken Loans. And a big factor is because he loves congressional, and he won U.S. Open there in 97. And sure enough, he comes out and shoots a 66. He's 5-under. He's only a couple shots back. Ernie just seems to defy age a lot of times because even though he's had a few ups and downs, as every golfer has, well, he's nothing but consistent. And just when you kind of count Ernie out and think, he a couple of years ago didn't make it to the Masters, and he's kind of on the downside, maybe waiting for the PGA Tour champions. No, he's still in the hunt, and he's still a viable, very viable golfer. This guy's still got a lot of game, doesn't he?
Yeah, it was interesting you say that, because when I was watching a bit of the coverage yesterday, looked up, saw the leaderboard, saw Ernie's name, and I started thinking, Tiger, this is, Tiger's semi-hosting this event and his foundation's attached to this event. And I thought to myself, Tiger, here he is, maybe never going to play again. Who knows if we'll see Tiger? We don't really know if or when we're ever going to see him again and the health issues he's gone through. And Tiger, he's a very old 40. Physically, he's a very old 40. And I thought to myself, look at Ernie Els up there. He won his first major 2 years before Tiger even turned professional back in 94. Tiger was late 96 turning pro. And, here's Tiger watching a guy who, you know, several years older than him, one of his contemporaries, but several years older, a guy that he dueled with down the stretch forever, still putting up good numbers, still contending, still very viable every time he puts the ball on the ground like you suggested. And, you know, again, Ernie Els, never any major swing changes, never a gym rat of any kind. And you start to wonder, these guys pounding the heavyweights, these guys, you know, multiple times changing their swing, I just don't think it's good for the body in the long haul. You know, Ernie Els, very long, healthy, successful career, still playing well, no health issues. You got to wonder, you know. Easy for a guy like me, though, guys. You know me. I stay away from the gym as much as possible, so maybe I'm just looking for reasons to continue that format.
Yeah, nobody's going to accuse you of being a gym rat, but maybe a rat. just not the gym part. Hey, Mark, we appreciate it so much. Thanks for all your insight. We do appreciate it. I know it's an early wake-up for you this morning, maybe earlier than you expected. I would go back to sleep, by the way, if I were you, because God only knows what's going to happen when you wake up next time. So I'd stay awake for a couple of days now if I were you.
Just let the world settle back to normal again.
Yes, why not? We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio, part of the team on PGA Tour Radio. And, yeah, that's a lot of change, waking up in the morning. I'll tell you what, going back to Ernie Els and going back to the first hole at Augusta that we'll all talk about for a long, long time, I don't know how I would have ever come back, period, from that. He came back in that very tournament and played pretty well and has continued to play well. I guess it was just an aberration. I mean, you thought he was totally collapsing when he gets a 9 on the first hole and 5 putts. But he overcame it. He's been through a lot, and he's still bouncing around. Again, he's at 5 under. He's 2 shots behind Jon Rahm in the first round of the Quicken Loans National. All right, let's take a quick break here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to come back. We'll be joined by our good friend Bob Bupka of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio and get his take on what's happening near the nation's capital when we come back to Golf Talk America right here on PGA Tour Radio. Welcome back to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews with you in the studios, and we're joined now by Bob Bupka. He of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio, been covering golf for, let's just say, a few decades, and happy to have him again with us. Bob, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Tim. Certainly an exciting time of the year with the U.S. Open just finished, and just a couple of weeks away, we'll be over at Royal Troon in Scotland for the Open Championship. It's always one of my favorite events of the year. In actuality, probably the event I enjoy the most, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it is always special, and we can't wait to talk to them, because it'll be a little bit easier if it's early here. It'll be, you know, dinner time over there, so maybe we can get you on a few times from across the sea and talk to us about that. But right now, the guys are playing at one of the better golf courses here in the United States at Congressional. But I'm curious, do you find that the timing of this, with Tiger being associated and everything, it's a little curious to me that they don't have a better position on the PGA Tour. It's a tough place to be here for the Quicken Loans National, because a lot of the top players from Day and McIlroy and Spieth and on want to take a week off. They went through a lot of pressure, a lot of stress during the U.S. Open, and then to turn right around and play at Bethesda is a little bit too much for some of these guys, so they don't always have some of the top golfers. It's a little unfortunate for their position in the tour, isn't it?
Well, it really is, Tim, but, you know, the PGA Tour did everything in their power. I mean, it's just one of those crazy years because of the Olympics. Everything is jumbled around. I mean, you know, in 2 weeks we're going to be at the Open Championship, then there's 1 week that goes by, and then we're at the PGA Championship. So as far as the majors go, you know, they're all condensed together, and you can see that players have to have some time off. And, you know, it was a long week at Oakmont for the U.S. Open due to the rain delays that we had on day one. Players are on the course, off the course, and, you know, exhausting. Oakmont will tire you out mentally, that's for sure. So, you know, you can't play every week, every place. And this year, Tiger's event, and I'm sure he understands, there's just not the high caliber of players that they would like there. I believe Ricky Fowler is the highest ranked player in the field, but still plenty of good entertainment for the fans that want to go out and watch the Quicken Loan.
We're talking with Bob Bupka of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. John Rahm is the leader, a rookie in his first professional tournament. He played as an amateur just last week at Oakmont and was the only amateur to make the cut. So here we go again. Bob, another young gun. He's only 21 years old, not out of nowhere because it was a very highly ranked amateur, but still another 21-year-old young guy comes in and at least early on has some pretty good indications that he's going to be a pretty good golfer. They just keep reloading, don't they, on the PGA Tour with young 20, 21, 22-year-olds?
Very well said, Tim. It's just indicative of the world of professional golf right now that somebody playing in their first event as a professional, as you accurately mentioned, he has participated before in some PGA Tour events, but only as an amateur and not playing for money, and goes out there and shoots a blistering 7-under par round. I mean, in his wildest dreams, Mr. Rahm never thought that he'd be leading after 18 holes. As you just said, I mean, they're younger now, they're better, they're more confident, they're bigger, they're stronger. Most of these young guys grew up idolizing Tiger Woods, so they fully realized that they had to be in shape, that they had to practice long hours, and they're doing all the right things. And that's why when they get an opportunity, like John at Quicken Loan, he takes advantage of it. I mean, he didn't appear to be nervous out there at all, just playing his golf game, and putts start going in, and a good round ends up getting posted on the board.
We were talking earlier with Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio, and he brought up a very good point at this tournament that Ernie Els, I was asking about Ernie continuing to play well as he gets older and doesn't seem to have much of a hitch. With a few exceptions here and there, but continues to go on and on. He shot a 66 yesterday. He's 5-under par at a tournament that's hosted by Tiger. And Tiger's got to take this, don't you think, Bob, and look at it and go, wow, here's Ernie, who's several years older than me, but a contemporary of mine. And he continues to just roll along. I can't get on a golf course. And for the last 6-7 years, it's been nothing but injuries and it's ups and downs and no majors when I should have been playing in my prime. That kind of irony has to be hitting Tiger, doesn't he, watching guys that are his age or even older not having nearly the health issues that Tiger has. It's a little bit sad, too, isn't it?
It really is, and you analyze the situation very well, Tim. You know, Ernie Els certainly is older, but has not undergone, three back surgeries for the same injury. It's just a brutal thing. I mean, injuries are any professional athlete's worst nightmare. You really can't do anything about them. You think that you're keeping your body in the best shape possible. I talked to Sean Foley last week on the range at the U.S. Open, Tiger's former coach, and basically asked him about, the speed of Tiger's swing. It was so violent. And then you couple that with, a problem in his back area. Those two, they're lethal. And, it doesn't look like Tiger's going to play this year. At least that's what I'm speculating. I have no inside information to verify that. But I think the critical year would be 2017. Tiger has to be able to return to competition in 2017. If he's unable to do that, then I think we really have seen the last of Tiger Woods, truly one of the all-time greats ever to play the game.
I'm curious too, Bob, and you go back a long time following golf for a long, long time, so maybe I'm not analyzing this correctly, but let's say you're an average golfer on the PGA Tour, right? So you're Carl Peterson and you're Jeff Overton. You're one of the guys that's always there. You're playing every week, but you're not winning majors. You're not winning a lot of tournaments, but you're making a living. Is it, if you're one of those guys and you keep seeing what's been going on. And certainly Jordan Spieth took a lot of people's breath away and took their attention, going, wow, how young is this guy and how much better is he than I might have been at that age? And now you've got John Rahm, who, again, just a first-round lead, but another young guy comes out. You've got Smiley Coffin, all these young guys. If you're one of those other 30, 35-year-old golfers who have been making a pretty good living, are you a little bit worried? Are you a little bit going, wow, I really kind of thought I could run this thing all the way to the Champions Tour, and now I'm wondering if I can keep my card because it's hard to even make cuts in the field today because these young guys, and now we got Bryson DeChambeau that's coming on so hard. These guys are all under 25 or right around there, and it's got to be, I think, a little bit intimidating if you're one of those other guys who just makes his living and does a good job. But, boy, it's going to be hard to hang out of that car, don't you think, over the next few years?
Well, it certainly is going to be hard. But what you mentioned, Tim, is the Champions Tour. That's like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. If you're in your early 40s, mid-40s, and you're just a run-of-the-mill player, and there was no Champions Tour, and you were witnessing, as you pointed out, all the young guns coming, you probably would move on and not continue to play. But because of that Champions Tour, they're working hard. I talked to Chris DeMarco, who really probably should have won the Masters, that famous putt by Tiger on that that chip, I should say, on that par 3 16th hole. Chris DeMarco was going to, that's the 70th hole of the championship on Sunday. He's one shot behind Tiger. He's got a very makeable birdie putt. Tiger's in an impossible situation. Chris told me he was thinking that, boy, Tiger would be lucky to make a bogey here. I should be able to pick up a couple of shots. Tiger chips it in. Chris DeMarco misses. So instead of a one-shot lead, Tiger walks away with a two-shot lead instead of Chris DeMarco being in the lead. And he said that, obviously changed his life. You don't win a major when you really were in great position to win a major. I look at the career of Doug Sanders, one of the real greats of the game, had less than a 3-foot putt at St. Andrews to win an Open Championship, missed it, lost in the playoff the next day. And, these are hard things. That's why it's such a great feat when somebody does win a major, like what Dustin Johnson did this past Sunday. I don't think we give that player enough credit because, it's hard enough, and I say this quite frequently, Tim, it's hard enough to get a start on the PGA Tour. And then it's really difficult to make the cut on a PGA Tour. And then to get a start in a major, make the cut in a major, and ultimately win a major. It's a fantastic accomplishment. But getting back to what you said, the journeyman players, and they're all great in their own right, and, they have a good week here or there, and they make, ample money, but it's that pot of gold, it's that Champions Tour that they think maybe. They look at Esteban Toledo, who never won on the PGA Tour. He's won four times on the Champions Tour. So it just goes to show things can happen, and golf's a crazy sport. Sometimes with the equipment nowadays, the guys that are over 50 are hitting it further than when they were 30. So there's really no logic to that other than the golf ball is superior and the equipment that they're hitting it with is really superior.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this tournament plays out, the Quicken Loans National, and see if Rahm can hang on, but also how the whole season finishes and plays out. Bob, thanks so much for your time, as always, and your insight. And we'll be talking to you, I'm sure, in the next few days or certainly by next week as the tour moves on to Firestone at the Bridgestone Invitational. And we'll talk to you again soon. Okay, Bob, have a great week.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tim, and look forward to coming back. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Bob Bupkett with the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. Be sure to listen to him on TuneIn Radio. And that should just about do it. If Frank Bassett is still there, one more mention, Frank, of where you're going to be in Reynolds Plantation next week.
Reynolds Lake Oconee is what it's called Oconee. Now. But nice. It used to be Reynolds Plantation at the AJGA Rolex Tournament of Champions. So it'll be the juniors, and up through seniors in high school. It's an invitational. It's going to be a great time. Great time, great tournament on the Great Waters course, which is a fabulous, fabulous design.
And you'll be joining us all next week from that location to give us the latest on what's going on there. And just like I was talking about with Bob, you'll be watching the next, probably, John Rahm and Jordan Spieth and Smiley Kaufman. Well, a lot of those guys will be playing in that tournament right there, and others on the other tours as well. That they're just all coming virtually every week or a few weeks. There's another wave of young guys that maybe we hadn't heard much about, but you'll be able to see a lot of these guys before their names are that well known when they're junior golfers. But that's where it all starts for a lot of those guys. So have a good time, and everybody listening, be sure to join us next week, because we'll give you all the update on what's going on there, and Frank will give you some insight into the next names you need to keep in mind. Put them down and put them in the back of your brain, and you'll remember the next Jordan Spieth. It might be a few years down the road, but then again, it might be 2 years or 1 year. Have a phenom coming out of there that's 18 or 19 years old. All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. That'll wrap things up. We appreciate Mark Zucchino for being with us, as well as Bob Bupka. I'm Tim Matthews, and for Frank Bassett and Bobby Raymond, thanks so much for being with us, and please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.